This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
For this month's JodBite, we're with Dr. Eamon Kerins. Hi, Eamon.
Hi.
Eamon is involved in the VVV survey, so could you tell us a little bit more about that, what the initial stands for?
VVV stands for Vista Variables in the Via Lactea. So that last word is the Milky Way. And so it's a survey in the infrared wavelength range being conducted on the Vista telescope, which is located at Paranal Observatory in Chile. So Vista was actually constructed by the UK, but it was used as part of the UK's payment into ESO, so it is now an ESO telescope. But UK astronomers have a very active involvement in the science that's currently being done with Vista. So Vista is the world's largest infrared telescope. It's a 4.1-meter mirror, and it's got a wonderful wide-field camera, which covers an area of about 1.6 square degrees with a couple of pointings to fill in for overlaps. And so it opens up the infrared sky to us in a way which allows us to survey large areas of sky in the near infrared. And that's really, really nice, especially for galactic studies where in the optical we're obscured by dust. In the near infrared, we can see a long way through that dust. And so it's really exciting for us.
Okay. So what specifically is the telescope looking for?
So for the VVV project, we're doing the very first large-scale variability survey in the near-infrared. So surveys like this have been done over the last decade or so at optical wavelengths. So we have surveys such as Ogle and Macho that set out to look for dark matter. Nowadays they're looking for exoplanets and variable stars. These surveys are looking towards the center of our galaxy, so some of the most crowded regions of the sky. They're monitoring millions of stars, looking for basically the needles in a haystack, the few stars out of a few thousand that are varying. And some of those variations might be due to intrinsic variability of the stars themselves, of different types of variable star. And some of those variations are due to other effects, such as gravitational lensing, etc. So these optical surveys have uncovered a wealth of data. I mean, they survey hundreds of millions of stars. It's quite a computational project to actually process those images and to find the variations and to model those variations with time. So we're now doing that. Infrared technology lags behind optical technology. So it's only really now that the technology is there to actually do that in the infrared. So the VVV survey is looking in five different near-infrared filters, and in one of those filters at around 2 microns, we are regularly taking observations of about a total of about 500 square degrees of the inner galaxy, that's the bulge in the inner disk, and that project is taking place over 5 years, so we're going to build up a library of variable stars of all different kinds at infrared wavelengths with a baseline of 5 years. And as I say, that's the first time we'll have done that in the infrared. And in the infrared region, we'll be able to map variable stars in the heart of our galaxy that we just can't see at optical wavelengths.
Yeah, so the obvious advantage of infrared is that it sort of peers through the dust. What more can it tell us compared to optical surveys?
Right. So the first thing, because of the lessened dust, we get a much more, if you like, an unbiased view of where different variable populations are towards the centre of our galaxy. And so that's a very useful study in itself. Secondly, certain classes of variable stars are so-called standard candles. That is to say that the period over which they vary, these are, you know, periodic variables which vary in their intrinsic brightness in a very predictable way.
Okay.
So these periodic variables, some subset of those are standard candles. So they're the length of time over which they make one complete cycle of variation is related to how intrinsically bright they are. So, and that's incredibly useful to astronomers because we can model the length of time these objects vary, and we can determine from that how intrinsically bright they are, compare that to how apparently bright they are from our observing site, and work out how far away along the line of sight they are. So if we can do that for a very large sample of stars, so tens of thousands of stars, we can begin to build up a three-dimensional picture of stars in the inner galaxy. And so one type of variable star is called an Ara Lyrae, and that class of variable star, we expect tens of thousands of them to be visible to VISTA, to our survey, the VVV survey, and so we're going to use those to trace the inner galactic structure. So there's okay. Many other projects that VVV hopes to do, but that's probably one of the prime science drivers.
Okay, and so where does your research fit into the global survey?
So my job in the survey, if you like, is the guy who's trying to find the needle in a haystack. So my job and my student Leo Huckvale, we're both building the pipeline that's going to be used to find the variable stars and to model their variations. Now there is a sort of standard pipeline. The VISTA telescope data products are shipped from Parnell Observatory to a data processing center in Cambridge, which does a reasonable job at processing vast amounts of data. But if we really want to get down to the most sensitive measurements of variations that we can, then we have to use a specialized technique called difference imaging. So that type of processing isn't done by Cambridge, but we're doing it here at Manchester. So this is where it's basically a technique which is the ultimate way to do a spot the difference competition. If you've got two, you know, spot the difference pictures, and you've got to find 10 differences between the pictures, the cheating way of doing that would be to take a photograph of each of the pictures and then completely register the two photographs spatially so they are exactly aligned on top of each other, and then to subtract the two images and form a new image, a difference image. And that difference image would then show up only the changes, and you could pick them up completely. So we do that in astronomy, but there's the added complication that certainly from the ground, from places like Parnell, we have to look through the Earth's atmosphere. And that changes from moment to moment, and that tends to blur out the starlight at different degrees at different times.
Okay.
So that's one problem we have to deal with. The other problem is one night the moon is up, the next night it's down, or there's, you know, some city nearby with lights on, which changes the ambient level of the sky brightness. So these changes are not going to tell us anything about the intrinsic variability of stars. So we have to develop a technique which can automatically subtract off and correct for those changes. So the difference imaging method copes with that. And so it's quite computationally expensive. And so it's quite an intensive task to do. And so myself and Leo, we've built the pipeline. It's running. In fact, there's a version of it running right now from my office a few feet away. And, over the coming months, we're going to build up a library of fingers crossed, millions of light curves. Some subset of those will be, for instance, standard candle variables that we'll use to do the science.
Well, that's a really interesting technique. So once you've built up a large catalogue of variable stars, what's the next step for the VVV?
So with this catalogue, we'll want to look at different types of variable star or transient objects, you know, some one-off variations that we might pick up on. We need to identify those according to the shapes of the variations in time, where they're located, how bright they look at the infrared wavelength, which we'll get with VVV, versus how bright some of the subset of them look in optical wavelengths through the optical surveys, and get a better definition of the different classes of variable objects. But then, with any sort of first large-scale survey, such as the first large-scale optical surveys, there isn't a rule book. You know, there is, so we fully expect to uncover new things. And that's the great thing about these very large scale harvesting surveys. So things like the Sloan Digital Sky Survey is fantastic for that. The Ogle Survey has been fantastic for that. And I fully expect the VVV survey to pull up the unexpected. And perhaps that's perhaps ultimately the greatest science that will come from these kinds of surveys is the science I can't even tell you about yet because I don't even know myself.
Yeah, that's the exciting bit, isn't it? Great. Thanks very much for your time, Eamon, and I hope to see you sometime soon on the Jodcast.
Great. Thanks.